This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorn. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to gauge whether an icebreaker landed well. The signals most facilitators miss until the damage is done. In short, an icebreaker that lands well leaves the room warmer and louder than it found it. The signals are specific and observable voluntary responses that go beyond the minimum, laughter that spreads without prompting, and a group that looks at each other rather than just a facilitator. Knowing what to watch for before you start gives you the chance to recover before the damage sets. Definition: gauging whether an icebreaker landed well means reading the group's live behavioural signals, including response depth, body language, and post-activity energy, to determine whether your opening question built connection or quietly created distance before the real conversation began. Why this is harder to read than it looks. Someone once told me the meeting went fine. The icebreaker question had answers. Nobody walked out. She counted that as a win. 3 weeks later, two people from that same team told me separately they had dreaded coming. The opening question had felt intrusive, and they had spent the rest of the session waiting for it to end. The meeting was not fine. She had simply missed every signal that told her so. This is the central problem with reading whether an icebreaker landed well. The failure state looks a lot like the success state, especially from the front of the room. People answer. The activity completes. You move on. But underneath, the group may have contracted rather than opened, and the rest of your meeting pays the price. The signals are real and readable. You just need to know what you are looking for. The signals that tell you the truth. Here are six things I watch for. Some are obvious once named. At least one will surprise you. 1. Responses that go one sentence beyond the question. What it looks like. When an icebreaker lands, people do not just answer the question. They add something, a small story, a reason, a follow-up detail nobody asked for. Why it happens. A good icebreaker lowers the social cost of speaking. When people feel psychologically safe, they naturally share more than the minimum. When they do not, they give you exactly what was asked and nothing else. Why it matters. Response depth is the clearest early indicator of group readiness. A room full of minimum answers is a room that is still closed. If it stays closed, your meeting will underperform. What to do. Before you pose the opening question, decide what enough looks like. If most people give one word or one clause answers, that is your signal to gently model a slightly longer response yourself before moving to the agenda. This much I know: brevity in an icebreaker answer is not shyness. It is distance. 2. Eye contact that moves around the room, not just toward you. What it looks like. During and after responses, participants glance at each other, not only at the person running the session. Why it happens. When people feel connected by shared question, they instinctively seek confirmation from their peers. The facilitator becomes secondary. When the icebreaker has not worked, all eye contact stays directed at whoever is running the room, because the group has not yet formed into a social unit. Why it matters. Lateral eye contact is one of the strongest signs of group cohesion forming. Its absence tells you the room is still a collection of individuals, not a team. Proceeding into complex or collaborative work without the shift makes the work harder than it needs to be. What to do? Watch the room during the second and third responses, not the first. The first person always looks at the facilitator. By the third, a connected group is already looking at each other. If every eye in the room is on you, the icebreaker has not finished its job yet. 3. Laughter that spreads before it is earned. What it looks like. Someone makes a small joke or gives an unexpected answer, and laughter moves around the room organically, without you prompting it. Why it matters. This is the counterintuitive one. Laughter is not always a green light. Nervous laughter, polite laughter, or laughter directed at one person are all warning signs dressed as warmth. The laughter that tells you the icebreaker landed is the kind that surprises the person who caused it. It spreads sideways across the room before the facilitator has a chance to react. Why it happens. Groups that have connected are already listening to each other. They catch the humor in a peer's response because they are genuinely paying attention. Groups that have not connected laugh at the facilitator's cues, not at each other's words. What to do. After the activity, notice where the laughter was directed. If it was shared between participants, you are in a good shape. If it was always toward you, the warmth is polite, not real. For more on using humor as a signal rather than a tool, how humor can ease workplace tension, when used right covers this distinction well. Laughter that apologizes for itself is not warmth. It is compliance. 4. Silence after the question that feels curious rather than frozen. What it looks like. A brief pause after you pose the icebreaker question, followed by someone starting to speak with a slight smile or a hum. Let me think expression. Why it happens. A question worth answering takes a moment to consider. Groups that are engaged pause to think. Groups that are disengaged go silent because nobody wants to go first. Why it matters. Most facilitators panic at silence and fill it immediately, which kills the engagement they are trying to build. Learning to read the quality of silence is one of the most underrated skills in running any kind of opening activity. What to do? Give it 5 full seconds before you intervene. Watch faces during those 5 seconds. Curious silence looks like thinking. Frozen silence looks like waiting for someone else to take the hit. If it is frozen, a light self-disclosure from you, your own answer, brief and genuine, breaks it without force. Silence is not the enemy. The wrong response to silence is 5. The energy level in the room drops after the activity ends. What it looks like. The icebreaker finishes. You transition to the agenda, and the room goes quieter than before the activity started. Why it happens. This usually means the activity created a performance pressure that the group was relieved to have finished. The icebreaker became work rather than warm-up. It may have been too personal, too competitive, or too long. Why it matters. An icebreaker that drops the room's energy on exit has done the opposite of its job. The rest of the meeting starts at a deficit. According to the role of communication in meeting success, the opening minutes of any meeting set the conversational temperature for everything that follows. What to do? Calibrate the length of your icebreaker to the size and familiarity of the group. Longer activities with strangers often create more pressure, not less. A shorter, low-stakes question with a fast rotation usually leaves more energy behind. A good icebreaker leaves the room louder than it found it. If the room got quieter, recalibrate. 6. Nobody builds on anyone else's answer. What it looks like. Each person answers the question and then the group moves to the next person. Nobody references what someone else said. Why it happens. This is the most commonly overlooked signal because it looks like orderly participation. But in a connected group, people naturally react to each other's answers. They say, oh, same here, or I never thought of it that way. When nobody does this, the group is answering to complete a task, not engaging with each other. Why it matters. Building on each other's answers is the whole point of an icebreaker. Connection happens when people recognize themselves in someone else's response. Without that recognition, you've run a survey, not a warm-up. For meetings where this pattern persists, how to deal with dominant voices in a discussion offers a useful follow-on framework. What to do? Model it once. After the first or second answer, briefly acknowledge a connection. That is interesting, because the last person said something similar. You are not lecturing the group. You are demonstrating the behavior. Connection is not parallel speaking. It is noticing each other. What most failed icebreakers have in common? When I look at the signals above as a whole, they tend to point to one root cause. The question asked for more vulnerability than the relationship in the room could support. The icebreaker was too personal, too creative, or too exposed for where the group actually was. Not where the facilitator hoped they were, but where they actually were. A question that works beautifully with a team that has met 20 times can quietly humiliate someone in their first week. This is the underlying pattern. It is not about the question being bad in itself. It is about the mismatch between the question's demand and the group's current trust level. Getting that calibration right is the real skill. For more on building that calibration into your whole meeting approach, how to run productive meetings that don't waste time covers the preparation side well. A quick diagnostic you can run in the room. Before you transition out of the icebreaker and into your agenda, run this short check. Answer yes or no to each one. Did at least half the group give responses longer than one sentence? Did participants make eye contact with each other? Not only with you. Did laughter, if any, spread across the room without you prompting it? Did the silence after your question feel curious rather than frozen? Is the room's energy level the same or higher than when the activity started? Did anyone reference or build on another participant's answer? Scoring. 5 or 6 yeses means the icebreaker landed. 3 or 4 yeses means the connection is partial, worth a light bridge before moving on. 2 or fewer yeses means the room is still closed. Do not proceed into complex or collaborative work without acknowledging the reset and giving the group a low-pressure moment to regroup. For virtual settings, these same signals apply with small adaptations. Watch for cameras that turn on during the activity, unprompted chat messages, and participants who respond to each other rather than just to you. Best practices for virtual meeting communication covers the full picture of reading a digital room. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book They Write Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emondlickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Your first move if the signals are off. If you run this check and the results are not good, resist the urge to push the icebreaker further or to pretend it worked. Both responses make things worse. The cleaner move is a brief, honest transition, name that the question was a tough one. Give a single genuine answer yourself and move to the agenda with energy. This respects the group, models the self-disclosure you were asking of them, and releases the pressure the icebreaker created. If conflict has already surfaced as a result of a misfired icebreaker, how to handle conflict during meetings gives your practical path forward. The broader lesson is this: learning to gauge whether an icebreaker landed well is not about judging yourself. It is about staying honest about where the room is, so you can meet people there rather than where you planned for them to be. That quality, the willingness to read what is actually in front of you, is what separates a facilitator who connects from one who simply runs activities. Frequently asked questions. How do you know if an icebreaker landed well? Watch for voluntary participation, genuine laughter, and responses that go slightly beyond the question asked. When people lean in, make eye contact with each other rather than just the facilitator, and carry the energy into the next agenda item, your icebreaker has done its job. What are the signs an icebreaker failed? Flat, one-word answers, long silences after the question is posed, people checking phones, and a room that feels quieter after the activity than before it are all clear failure signals. If the group does not look at each other during responses, the connection did not happen. Why do icebreakers sometimes make things more awkward? Icebreakers create awkwardness when they ask for more vulnerability than the relationship in the room can support. A question that feels too personal too soon puts people on guard rather than at ease, and a forced or competitive format can signal that the facilitator is not reading the group. How can I tell if an icebreaker landed well in a virtual meeting? In virtual settings, watch for cameras turning on, unprompted chat messages, and people who respond to each other rather than just answering the facilitator. Laughter that is visible on camera, and questions that carry forward into the meeting agenda are the clearest positive signals available online. What should I do if an icebreaker is not landing well? Do not push through and hope it recovers. Acknowledge it briefly, and move on a short, honest transition, like naming that the question was tricky, and moving to the agenda respects the group. Forcing a failing icebreaker to completion makes the discomfort permanent. Does laughter always mean an icebreaker landed well? Not always. Nervous laughter, laughter directed at one person rather than shared across the group, and laughter that stops abruptly are warning signs, not green lights. Look for laughter that spreads organically across the room, and is followed by people making eye contact with each other. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emondlickthorne.com to get your copy.